Today's program is brought to you by Copper and Kings, pure copper pot-distilled American brandy, aged in Kentucky bourbon barrels. For more information, visit copperandkings.com.
I'm Greg Blaze, host of Cutting the Curd. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to Love Bites, coming at you live from Heritage Radio Network. Today is Monday, February 29th. Happy Leap Year Monday.
Happy Leap Year.
That means it's either going to be an amazing show or one of us is going to put our foot in our mouth.
It's going to be amazing. What
really
are you talking
horribly,
about?
Horribly, it might be me.
It's going to be me. If it's someone, it'll...
I have a feeling it'll be me.
Yeah. Listen, it's going to be perfect.
Anyway, who am I? I'm Jacqueline Raposo, one of your hosts. I'm a food writer. You can find me as wordsfoodart.com. I'm 34, straight and single.
Very interesting voice you're using
today.
I don't know
what's happening today. I
am Ben Rosenblatt, your other host. I am an actor, writer, musician, occasionally a bartender and server. You can check me out at benrosenblattactor.com. I am 33, straight, and single.
Just single, that's it? There's no qualifier for that this week?
Today. I'm hungry.
I'm hungrily single. For our second segment today, we're going to be joined by Tiago Silva. He is a pastry chef and the inventor of a very famous donut, and he met his wife when he was 9 years old.
Whoa.
They didn't get married for a while after that. But
they got married when he was 10.
When he was 10. It was Brazil. No, it wasn't Brazil. So we're going to chat him up about young love and how the ups and downs of pastry ebbed and flowed with the ups and downs of dating and marriage, and what he hopes comes in the future as he and his wife await the birth of their second child.
Babies.
But first, Benjamin.
Yeah.
If you couldn't tell, I'm a little bit off today.
I can't tell.
You couldn't? That's... by that really stupid, silly opening.
I thought it was very endearing. I must admit.
Thanks.
And your bangs today. I noticed when I saw you.
I do have bangs today.
They're new.
They are new. Yeah. No, I'm just a little run down today. I don't feel very well, and I figured I should just say that because some people listen to the show now because I have written about dating and relationships with a chronic illness. And so they know that I have this radio show, and I've had some messages from wonderful people who read my pieces on Cosmopolitan and Elle and Blogger about how they're going to listen to the show because I talk about dating with an illness. So to you people out there not feeling very well today, neither do I. I don't have much of a brain, and I'm very tired, and my bones hurt, and so I'm a little bit Percocetted up, but I'm happy to be here.
Are you? Do you have any to share?
No, I don't have any to share.
Okay, all right.
I can't say. There's
we'll
legal
later.
Ramifications of things like that, Ben. Don't get me in
all right,
trouble.
We'll talk in the...
But I'm so happy to be here. I'm very, very happy that I get to do what I do and that I can do what I do. So, but the reason why I'm so tired and don't feel well, it's because I had a really good weekend.
Oh, yeah?
I did.
You went on a date or two?
I went on two dates.
Uh-oh.
With two different people.
Player.
And they were both...
Don't hate the player, hate the game.
Is that a thing I
is
should know?
Is that a phrase you've never heard?
Don't hate the player, hate the game. How does that apply to this scenario?
I don't know. It doesn't. It's just because you've got so many men on your hands.
I don't have so many men on my hands. All I will say is that I've met two gentlemen, and I had a really good time with both of them, and they have renewed my faith in dating. I hadn't had like a really good date in many months, and I'm like blown away by what I'm learning about these two gentlemen, and I really, really enjoyed my time with both of them, which is why I'm a little sleepy right now.
That's awesome that you have renewed faith.
Renewed faith, how great is that? Yeah. And interesting, good people that I find attractive.
They are out there.
Yeah. Anyway, and you had a first date this weekend.
I did, and it was nice. I actually had like a really nice conversation with this woman who I went out with. Actually, more than nice. It was stimulating and interesting, and we share some cool things in common and explored some things that we don't have in common in like a insightful, interesting way. For me, there was no physical attraction, I kind of just like knew it as soon as I walked in.
Oh, no.
And so that's kind of probably where it's going to end for me, unfortunately. Although, like, I would totally hang out with her again, but it's not going to go anywhere for me.
And we've talked about this before, but you don't feel like physical attraction could happen, could be developed?
I don't think so. Like, that's not typically how it works for me or in my experience how it's ever worked
for
me.
When I was listening through the history of our shows today for our upcoming conversation, I think that's one thing you said in like episode 3. Like, no, but if it's not there, it's not there.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of thing I know right away. So, unfortunately, as much as I really enjoyed my time the other night, I think that's going to be the last time I see her.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Okay. Well, let's...
That means I won't have any emotional relationship baggage to deal with.
I was like, how are we going to transition? My brain is
this
so
is, this
dead.
This is my terrible
I'm happy
segue.
But stupid today. Poor Tiago. Tiago's wondering why he's here.
No, he's not.
So transitioning from talking about our dates this weekend horribly, we didn't really contribute much to the world with those comments. But anyway, so how... All right,
well,
so
now
baggage.
Everyone knows. Everyone... Listen, everyone... is just dying to know when we're going to find love. And now they know that you're maybe a little bit closer and that I'm not.
Don't use that word. It's only been 2 dates and 1 date.
Listen, love can happen in an instant.
You're making me nervous. I just heard Dave through the wall. Like, oh.
I couldn't tell if it was our like engineer. That's a sweet groan or if that was like oh, that's disgusting groan.
I think we've lost half of the people who started listening to us today. I don't know what is happening. I'm going to hate listening to this later. Anyway, baggage. That's what we're talking about today. That is our topic for the next 6 minutes. Relationship baggage. We talked about baggage last season on our 4th show about just emotional baggage in general, defining it as anything that stops you from moving forward with another human being. So whether it's something that you've picked up from your parents' relationship throughout your childhood, for me, it was about just sort of how my illness plays into me moving forward. I think another point that you had mentioned was your fear of disappointing people and hurting people that you considered part of your baggage. But today, let's talk about specifically about relationship baggage.
Like what you take from a previous relationship.
From a previous relationship.
Like,
yeah, something that's burned you from a previous relationship and how you sort of move past it. So we brought in some...
You brought in some great research nerd that you are, which is amazing. You brought in a quote that struck me from a thread on Reddit.
Yes.
And I'm going to just read it really quickly and then we'll discuss it. Emotional baggage doesn't just go away when you've learned how to handle it. It mostly gets sorted and put in a closet. You're not carrying the load anymore, but you haven't gotten rid of it either. At some point, with enough time and healing, you will be able to look back in your internal closet and be able to sort through it and decide if you want it around anymore. But it doesn't get thrown away immediately.
So why did that stick out to you out of all of the stuff I brought in?
It sticks out to me because I don't think that emotional baggage, per se, is something that you get rid of. It's something that shapes you and it informs who you are and the choices you make and the way you react to things moving forward in, I think, a permanent way, which is sometimes negative, but also can sometimes be positive. And so I think baggage is an interesting term because I think all emotional, it's a, like an emotional thing that happens and then we act differently moving forward. I don't think it ever goes away. I think it's there. And then again, to the point it says, and then you can decide once you've looked at it and said, oh yeah, I'm doing this, whether or not you want to continue doing it or not.
What sticks out for me just hearing you say that is whether, to me, I look at something as baggage as a bad thing. I don't think about baggage as a good thing. Other than in effect, you know, it's like, yeah, a bad thing happened to you. You got burned by somebody else and you brought that hurt with you. And then that hurt shaped you to make better choices or to be whatever worked for you. And so it's a good effect. But when you said it could be good or bad, like I still don't think of like, oh, a good thing that happened in a past relationship is good baggage.
No. I mean, yes, of course.
You were talking about the effect of bad baggage teaches you. So
yes.
A good effect from something that was negative.
Absolutely.
I agree with that. I'm not quite sure if the idea of like emotional baggage just doesn't go away when you learn to handle it, because then it's just no longer baggage. If it becomes something that becomes a positive, then it's not baggage anymore. Then it's an experience that you've worked through and lived through, and it's no longer something on your back. Does that make sense? So like that phrasing of it, like, that it doesn't go away when you learn to handle it. I sort of think actually it does go away if you've learned to handle it, because then it's no longer baggage. It's not the same thing anymore.
Yeah, I mean, the emotional weight of it is gone.
Right.
But the effect of it is still there.
Is lingering.
I think it becomes part of your new decision-making process.
Do you feel like you're still grappling with any negative baggage from a past relationship?
I think I've been shaped by my past relationships. But no, I don't think I'm not currently emotionally burdened by things of the past. But yeah, I would say that my past relationships and past women I've dated have shaped me in such a way that now when I am dating, I act differently, or I look for different things, or I see different signals and interpret them in certain ways that I might not have prior.
Was there, with something that was a specific negative type of baggage to you, was there a way that you were able to move past it?
Time.
Time.
Yeah, I think time is huge. I think, and you know, it's interesting because often it's, you know, people think that we need to get rid of our baggage or lose our baggage before we can move on to the next thing. And I often think it's like the next thing that helps us get past our baggage.
Yeah, I think I've said at one point on the show that you don't really get over, I think in our unrequited episode with Lisa Phillips, that like sometimes you don't really get over someone until someone else comes along.
Totally.
Who makes you feel as happy or happier or more excited, and you don't have the time and the empty space to be thinking about this person who hurt you so much.
Exactly. But outside of that, do you have any like techniques or tricks you've learned to?
No, I think time, like I did feel like I had baggage for a while from one negative experience with a relationship, and I worried about it. But I think I was also, it took a lot longer to get over that relationship than I had expected anyway, in a way that was completely illogical. Talk about like unrequited love. Like it took years, which is ridiculous looking back for like what it was. And not that I didn't date throughout that, and not that I didn't have positive experiences dating, but I definitely had something lingering that I would call baggage, which I just decided, I was like, well, I can let this shape how I trust falling for someone again, or I can just be aware of like, all right, am I not going to trust the emotions or feelings that are developing with a new person because I'm wary because of how badly I was hurt? And so far that hasn't come up.
In what way, when you were more emotionally burdened by that issue, by that scenario, was that affecting the way you were dating when you were dating?
I wasn't about to jump in as deeply emotionally as quickly as I am prone to, and which, aside from the whole baggage thing, like that's just something to figure out about, you know, yourself. Some people jump in more deeply than others, and I think for a while I was just very wary of that. And then I decided that no, I would rather live fully and deeply and genuinely for myself if I, and the kind of relationship that I'm going to want. I want something that's going to be, you know, full and emotional and, you know, and big. I want big love in my life.
Me too.
And so it was recognizing that, like, oh, I don't want this to hold me back from what I actually really want.
So how much of that then your lack of willingness to jump into something was because you were afraid of being hurt the way you were? Or was it, how much is it that you were still hurt? And
I don't know, because I feel like it happened over such a long period of time, like the sort of getting through the morning, and I wasn't really, I also had like the health issues happening at the same time. So I wasn't exactly like trying something with somebody new and then recognizing this issue. It was more that like, I recognize that this exists. I was very hurt. I was very hurt by this human being in a way that I didn't think could be possible. And so it was more about getting over the hurt and then looking. And then when I was far enough out, with time, like you said, just being able to look at it analytically and saying, okay, I was hurt this horribly. I could let this stop me from trusting somebody, you know, from trusting to really care about somebody in the future, or I could just recognize that it's there and not let it affect that. And decide that to me, it's more important to be genuine and full and real and to try. I would rather try to have a real deep, big love and get hurt again than to play it safe.
Totally.
I
could relate. I had a similar experience where I was devastated by someone, and it took me.
I know
way,
we were there for each other.
I know,
you were so there for me when I was
going through.
I feel
like that's how this radio show came to be, actually, because
it
we came together in this time of both being crushed by someone and started talking about relationships together.
Friends are great.
But anyway, I feel like the baggage that I carried with me from that for a little while was that, because I was so hurt, it felt like that love or that relationship was so meaningful that anything that didn't instantly feel that meaningful was like not going to be worth it.
Right.
And so it took me a while to
believe that it could be again.
Exactly. And believe that it doesn't necessarily, or that feeling is A, not necessarily even indicative of a good relationship, and B, that you don't need that feeling to be able to enter into something meaningful.
Right. I'm just happy today because I had I had dates that made me feel like that can exist in life. Like, just having people who make you really happy. I'm just happy today. That's all I'm going to say about that.
I'm enjoying this smile you've got on your face.
Really, I woke up tired but happy. That's all I'm going
to say. Good. Well, I hope you maintain that smile on your face while we take our short break. But please, I just want to mention before our break that you can send your dating questions to us at lovebitesradio@gmail.com so that we can bring back the segment we had when we first started this darn show.
Which was super fun.
Where we answered your questions.
With our guests, not just us, we promise. Yes, other people will be talking about them too.
You will, as you're now getting
like, why
sick
would
of
I
our
ask
inside.
You guys
yeah,
for
you
advice.
You single idiots who can't manage to get into a relationship. No, we'll ask our married, happily suited guests.
Like Tiago, who met his love when he was 9 years old.
So send us your questions, and also stay tuned for the end of the show where we're going to share our favorite bites and drinks of the week and where you can get them. But in the meantime, enjoy some music. We'll be back with Tiago Silva in just a moment.
Hey, what's up? This is Jack Inslee, the executive producer of Heritage Radio Network, also the host of Full Service Radio, and I want to talk to you about brandy. I was lucky enough to visit Louisville, and we all know Kentucky is whiskey territory. However, the best thing I had to drink was brandy. I got to visit Copper and King's Distillery, and they make pure copper pot distilled American brandy aged in Kentucky bourbon barrels, matured with rock and roll. That's right. Sonic aging. They're playing music to the barrels. The stuff is double distilled, non-chill filtered, unadulterated by bois, sugar, or caramel color. And this stuff is feisty, rambunctious, with a long, smooth finish. The stuff isn't made exactly in the style of an international brandy or a cognac. It's more along the lines of an American whiskey. I can really be honest here and tell you, I'm not just reading you an ad, I'm giving you a tip. American brandy, you're not seeing it everywhere. Copper and Kings is doing it incredibly well. And they're cool people. The distillery is full of incredible art. Like I said, they're playing rock and roll to the barrels. So again, Copper and Kings, pure copper, pot distilled American brandy, aged in Kentucky bourbon barrels. That's copperandkings.com. Drink it neat, put it in a cocktail, sub it for your brown spirits, experiment, have fun, get funky. This stuff is awesome.
And we are back. Formerly the executive pastry chef of the M Group, Tiago Silva has recently made waves in the media as his cinnamon roll donut. That's a cinnamon roll that bakes inside a donut while it fries.
Oh my God, I'm so hungry right now, and that
it
sounds incredible.
It went viral for that very reason. Making its way onto The Chew, BuzzFeed, Thrillist, Cosmopolitan, Tasting Table by yours truly, Fox News, and many more. You can get the donut at Catch Restaurant in New York City, BT Dubs, if you live here. He is a winner of the Fabulous Baker Boys episode of the cooking competition show Chopped, and he donated his winnings to CCAP, the Careers Through Culinary Arts program that had him graduating high school and on his way into his professional career. His second child with his wife Caroline is on the way, so we're really thankful that Tiago could join us today. Welcome to the show, Tiago.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you for being here.
So you were how old when you and Caroline met? Where was this?
I was 9 years old. It was actually in church, of course.
In church.
First day in church. And I looked over at my mom and said, Mom, that little girl right there, she's so cute.
Oh, really?
And now he's married to her.
My mom turned around and said, you're going to marry her one day. And I was like,
way.
No, I don't want to.
Oh, and how long was it before you did you talk to her?
We did. She was kind of annoying when she was little, and we didn't get along too much. She didn't like me. I didn't like her.
What was annoying about her?
Everything. She was a little stuck up, smart, good grades.
Did you pull on her hair and annoy her?
I tried as much as I could to bother her.
So you were flirting with her.
At least trying to get her attention somewhere, I tried.
And then when did you start dating, and how did that happen?
We started dating after I grew out of my love handles and, got a little skinny and finally caught her eyes. I was 15.
You were 15
years old.
So, and how old were you when you got married? I think we need to get the A, B's, and C's down
yeah,
here.
Yeah, we got engaged. I was 20 when we got engaged. We got married when I was 21.
And do you mind if I ask how old you are now? So people can get a
This is going to be our 10-year anniversary, so
oh,
I'm 31.
Oh, wow. All right, so this is a long timeline already. So how when you were 15 years old and going through to, I guess, sort of when you were engaged and getting married, like what was going on with your professional career by that point? Like what were sort of the growing pains of the early point in your relationship when you're figuring out both who you want to be with in your life and the work that you want to do?
Well, when you're 15, you're not really thinking about your wife or anything. You're just trying to have a girlfriend. And, you know, we kept it going for a while. And I think we broke off once. And I think that one time where we broke off for a little bit, I realized, man, I miss her. She's my wife, you know. And I was 19 at the time. And that's actually when I started working in the industry. And it was rough at first, not knowing where I wanted to go in the industry, not knowing if I wanted to do pastry or savory, figuring things out. Planning a wedding, you know, we don't make much as pastry cooks in the industry. So it was very tough. And she was in college. I was helping her through college. And
were you living together? Were you close by?
We actually moved in the day we got married, which is very rare.
It's not as old school. That's what that is.
That is very old school.
Yeah. So you're Brazilian. My family's Portuguese. A lot of my cousins is the same thing. They get married and that's when you move out of mom's house.
It is. And that was the hardest year for us, I think.
Yeah,
you know, usually
you
say it's the honeymoon stage, but it was the hardest year because
a lot of adjustment.
Yeah, I never lived alone.
What was the hardest thing that you had to cope with of living with her?
Oh my God, just one? I think we both make sacrifices, but I don't know. There's not one thing that really stands out as a big burden. I think we all have our little nitpicks of certain things, but nothing really jumps at me, actually.
Well, for those who daydream about dating a chef and getting married to a chef, since it's a very attractive profession right now, what were the hardest things about, especially, you know, you said she was in college, you were getting married. Where were you? You had gone through CCAP at that point, so you were professionally working. Like, what are those really conflicting things in a relationship, especially a young one, when you were forging your career as a chef?
Yeah, I mean, it's mainly the long hours and, you know, not making a crazy amount of money. But I would say that the hardest thing is, you know, opening a restaurant from the beginning. And at that point, I remember not seeing my wife. I would literally wake up to go to work. She would be sleeping. I would come home from work. She would be sleeping. So that was a very, very tough time. But the main thing is having communication, being open, telling her about the plans and projects and being like, hey, in 3 months, you're not going to see me because I'm going to be screwed.
Here's a question. You've been with your wife for a really long time. You're comfortable with her, but then there's this time where you're like not seeing her a lot. You're on the rise. You're gaining success and a little bit of fame from this donut. Is there ever a time where you're like, man, I've been with her so long, I'm not seeing her, I'm getting all this new attention? Like, how does that play into maintaining a relationship? Or is it just the degenerate like me who thinks like, ooh, that would be
a saucy question, Ben.
Well,
that is a saucy question. I mean, you get attention and you got to know how to behave yourself. And
weren't you one of the 10 sexiest chefs in something?
Yeah.
I forget what was that?
You say like you're saying like, yeah, I was one of the I'd be like, yeah, I was.
But it was,
yeah.
People Magazine.
People Magazine.
10 sexiest chefs of 2015.
Wow. And so did you get like, were you getting like all sorts of like emails and stuff after that from, you know?
I try to stay away from that. And I also, you know, I come home and I tell my wife, hey, you know, look, honey, I'm married to, you know, and she just looks at me like, oh, please.
So, she's so unimpressed.
Yeah, no, she's
got to potty train the kid, get into the bathroom.
Yeah, go potty train James. And that should do it.
So I'm not going to let you off the hook here. How does one deal with those outside temptations?
It's tough, but I think once you know, I think we all go to in a certain point in a relationship where you're like, man, I got married young. Everybody asks me, what if you didn't? You know, what would you be doing? Now you have all this fame. What would you be doing? And the question I always ask myself is, what would I be without her and my son in my life? And honestly, I can't picture it happening. So I would never put myself in the position to allow that to happen.
Hear that, Caroline? Nice.
It's a great answer.
Great answer. Good
love
job.
You. Love you.
I thought I was going to get you in trouble, but I think I actually just scored you some points.
Exactly. So you recently left M Group and Catch Restaurant. You'd been there for 6 years, and that's been 2 months since you, for the first time in, you know, well over a decade, you don't have to be somewhere every day. So what's been both like the good thing about this time and the scary thing about this time for you?
I mean, it's been, you know, I just moved, so it's been great settling in. My wife's pregnant and just enjoying that a little bit. And my son is just going through all kinds of stages every day. It's something new with him. And he's obviously got a lot more energy than me, and it's hard to keep up. And it's great being home all the time and with him. And I told my wife to get a job so she can be my sugar mama and I'll stay home. But that won't happen because I can't keep up with James. He's got too much energy for me. But it's been really great, and I've just been taking it all in. And obviously there's the worries about, you know, finding my next home, my next place to be in. And, you know, I'm just rolling with the punches right now. But it's been fun. Can't complain.
Well, what do you hope the next challenge will bring?
Hopefully something big. You know, there's a lot of plans, a lot of talks going on right now, and, you know, hopefully it's something of my own. I don't know, but who knows?
Just put it out into the universe. If anybody has a couple million dollars sitting in their bank account, he's got a plan.
I got plans.
We got it.
Can you describe the donut?
Can I describe the donut? So it's actually a brioche style donut, and inside the donut, it's actually a raw cinnamon roll that actually proofs together with the dough, and it actually bakes while the donut itself is frying, and there's like a ooey gooey cinnamon caramel around it. So once you open it, it's all this ooey gooey caramel cinnamon running out and glazed with some cream cheese frosting as well. So it's delicious.
I don't know why I asked that. I'm so hungry right
now. And that's
now,
what and you bring like, home to the wife, and you make her happy.
There you go. Exactly. Damn. I need one of that.
You look really happy right now, Ben.
I want that donut.
So Tiago, you and I met a couple weeks ago just to catch up and, you know, and see what was happening in your life. And we were going through all of the attention this donut has gotten, which you left the restaurant. The donut is there. You are not anymore. And now you're all over the internet and on the chew, and just people are going insane. Your 45,000 Instagram followers or something like that are going insane over this donut. So how does that feel to have, this is not the first time you've done awesome nostalgic sort of mashups together. You've done s'mores pizza, and you've done Apple Jack's Pop Tarts, and you've done waffle towers, and Ben is looking really...
I want all of those things.
Yeah. So you have these really creative sort of nostalgic pastries, and this one is going crazy. Like, how does it feel?
I mean, it feels good. You know, I work hard trying to think outside the box and do things a little more unique. So, you know, and I didn't push press on anything and you know, have somebody try to pitch it out there. Just organically did its own thing. And, you know, I did it for Catch, and you can find it at Catch, and everyone can go there and try it on the menu. I'm very proud of it, but, you know, I'm looking forward to what I'm going to come up with next. That's what I'm looking at.
What is your favorite of your own creations, and what is your wife's favorite?
My favorite and my wife's favorite, so there you go, is actually a sticky coconut cake dessert that I made for Catch. Actually, it was for the General, but it's at Catch. It's a coconut water sorbet with sticky coconut cake, mango sauce, coconut cream, shiso lime sauce, a little candied pistachio, braised pineapple. It's one of my favorite desserts.
Is that the one that has the coconut shell to it?
Yes.
So, yeah, so people go and look on Instagram and look on Catch's menu, and it looks like a coconut shell, and it's sorbet, but it looks like a coconut.
Like, the actual sorbet
is a coconut shell. Like, it's, like, brown and sort of looks fuzzy, and then it's got, like, you know, white on the end. It looks like a coconut shell. It's very, very beautiful.
That's impressive.
Yeah, it's very impressive. So you've got a second child. You've got little baby James. He's almost three. You've got a second child. And what is his cake going to be?
His cake, he wants a Paw Patrol. I want a Paw Patrol cake.
A Paw Patrol? What is it?
Paw Patrol is, like, a little dog cartoon thing that hero dogs that save people, animals, things.
I have kids. I'm completely exactly. Over my head. What was his cake last year?
His cake last year was a 3-foot-tall Elmo.
Right. That was the Elmo cake. Yeah, so Tiago has some time, and he makes these insane celebration cakes. He actually taught me how to make a wedding cake. He was one of the three chefs who helped me fly to a little island in the Caribbean and make a wedding cake. He's very good. Much better at making them than I am. Very good at teaching. But yeah, these celebration cakes, again, which you can see on his Instagram and Facebook, are ridiculous. But so you've got little baby James turning three. You've got another one on the way. What are your goals right now as like in the, for the longevity of your career, for your family? Like what, how far do you see yourself? There's a skip on the record. Skipping record. How far do you see yourself going in your career?
As far as I could, you know, I mean, there's definitely a lot of plans. Ownership is one of them. And obviously everything I do, I'm thinking of my family first and trying to see how I can provide. You know, my wife, obviously with the birth of our second child, won't be working. So I'm always thinking, you know, what else can I take on to provide for my family? And that's really the most important thing when making a decision these days.
Are you worried about the time you won't get, like the sort of how hard you need to work and the next project, like how that's sort of going to take away from the time you're going to get with James and baby number two?
Yeah, it's definitely the hardest part of my career was when James was born. And I remember leaving him home the first day I had to go to work after he was born. It was very rough. And You know, but you have to make sacrifices, and, you know, it's for them. And the most important thing is when you have time to make time for them, you have to do it. You know, I know you might be tired sometimes from all this stress, but you just have to put a smile and play with them and, you know, enjoy them while they're this stage in their life, because they grow up so fast. And I know that's a cliche, but I'm living it. And this kid's just, you know, pooping in the toilet already, man.
Yay.
Congratulations.
One last question for you. I think a lot of what is very heartening for me when we ask chefs about having children is that there is this level of sacrifice. And I feel like we still live in an age of like helicopter parenting, when people want to be their kid's best friend and they want to be their kid's teacher and they want to be their, you know, give their kid everything. And it's which is really hard when you have such a job that takes up so much of your time. So what do you hope that your kids will learn from the sacrifices that you are making, so that you can have a career that demands a lot of your time and physical energy and have a family as well?
I think it's important for them to see that I am working hard. I am doing the best I can for them, but I am taking time and having, you know, family outings and investing in family, because, you know, at the end of the day, that's all you really have. And I think family values goes a long way. And it's, you know, making sure they see that that's really happening, and there's an effort there to keep that happening. I honestly think that's one of the most important things.
I mean, you had that from your mother too, growing up.
Your
mother
sure.
worked a billion jobs while you and your sister were growing up.
And she did, and she worked super hard. And I'm sure if she could, she would have probably said, you know, I wish I spent a little more time with you guys. But I knew why she was working hard, and, you know, we all knew why she was working hard, and it was all for us. It wasn't something she was doing for herself to buy herself, you know, nice things. It was for us.
Good parents make good kids.
Yeah. Well, we're going to keep you around for our final segment, but before we get to that, listeners, you can find Tiago's Pastry Insanity on Instagram and Twitter as @chef_Tiago. That's T-H-I-A-G-O. And on Facebook as Chef Tiago Silva. Thanks for dishing and spilling, T.
For sure.
We appreciate it. So before we head out, though, we're going to spend a couple minutes sharing our favorite bite or drink of the week very quickly, so you guys can sort of nosh on something we've enjoyed recently. Tiago, what you got?
So I actually went last week to a good buddy of mine. It's called Junmen Ramen. It's in 25th Street, 9th Avenue. Really awesome ramen shop. He just opened a little while back. And he blew me away with this little mushroom bun he had. And I was like, you know, I want a pork bun because I'm a pork type of guy. And he brought me this, you know, mushroom bun. And it blew me away. It tasted like meat. And it's totally vegetarian. And it was crispy and had an amazing texture to it. And it was delicious. But everything that he served me that day was really, really good. And, you know, hats off to June. I worked with him when he had a dream of opening a ramen shop, and his dream just, you know, became a reality. So he's killing it. It was really good.
Yeah, get in there, people.
Awesome. I love ramen, so I'm going to check it out.
Awesome. What about you, Benny?
Well, I took my date the other night to Casa Lula, a wine bar in Hell's Kitchen, where I don't usually hang out there. In Hell's Kitchen, but I was coming from a rehearsal. She works in the area, so that seemed like a decent spot, and like the Yelp reviews were hot. So we went there. I had two glasses of their Nebbiolo, which was fantastic, and we didn't actually get to eat, but the food looked incredible. They have this open... We were sitting at the bar, and the kitchen is like behind the bar, so they just like, you're just watching everything made in front of you, and they kept making these shrimp tacos that looked unbelievable with like avocados, salsa verde, and like corn and cajita cheese, and I was, you know, I'm fucking
you
hungry
might have
right
to
now.
Have,
I'm so hungry right now that like any taco food is like kind of pissing me off.
Well, I've got a really good one too.
Go for it.
So last Friday, I went to Le French Diner on Orchard Street, which I'd been to a while back with Shane Lyons, one of our guests from last season, took me there. And so I went back like at 11 o'clock last week after we saw Robbie Gill play down at Rockwood,
which was
an amazing show. So the date and I went to the French Diner and had this like grilled baby squid. And out of all of the things that we ate, it was the grilled baby squid that just like blew my mind. It was just like perfectly cooked, a little bit charred.
Did the date
nice
like it
and
too?
Juicy. He did. Okay. He did. He's a good eater. So Le French Diner, the grilled baby squid was definitely the best thing that I ate there. That just, I'm so glad we got it. So that's my favorite little bite. Well, boys, is there anything else you want to say before we sign off for the day?
We'll talk about the perks of that later.
Well, the place you went to, Casalulo, is actually my sous chef's, my old sous chef's favorite place to take on a first date.
Really?
It's a good date spot. I'm definitely going back there again on
All right, I'm gonna. It's a good spot.
The only thing is, I don't love to hang out in Hell's Kitchen.
But it's convenient, a great though. Spot. It's very convenient. I'm always looking for more places in Hell's Kitchen to go.
Yeah,
so that's a good one.
Go there. It's, the wine is delicious, cute decor and ambiance, and I kept like reading about the awesome food and seeing the awesome food. And
why didn't you get any food?
Because I don't know. Because we just, I was like, you hungry? She was like, not really. And then so we just kind of like didn't.
Oh, that's a sign.
That's why he's hungry now.
That's why he's hungry now.
Well, this was like 4 days ago. I've eaten since then. But,
well, thank you. Thank you, boys. Tiago, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Really appreciate you having here. That is our show for today. Come back next week for the Super Sexy Handsome Actors Show. I'm so excited. We've got Joel Ruben Gantz, Jonathan Weiner, and our very own Ben Rosenblatt dishing about how... What? What was that? What was that again? By the way, this is what you're doing next week. You are dishing about how dedicating your life to the craft of acting makes its way into the restaurants you sometimes serve in, as well as how the ups and downs of a creative career affect long-lasting love. Be prepared. I'm not going easy on you next week, Benny. Until then, thanks to our engineer with the mostest, David, and our sponsor, Copper and King. Our theme song is You Better You Bet, covered by Rob Gill, and we are Jacqueline Raposo and Ben Rosenblatt. We'll be back at the same time next week here at HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Heritage_Radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.